Chapter 43, Friends in the City of Vanity. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. Are you willing to tell us about the journey? In Mr. Nason's house, the travelers and their friends were still together. They had much to tell each other. One of the friends, Mr. Contrite, asked, "How was your journey? I am curious to hear about it. You must have traveled through many places. What happened there, and how did the people treat you?" Mr. Honest, are you willing to tell us something about it? "I will try to do so," the old man answered. He thought for a moment and then began to relate. It actually went the same as with all the people who take this journey. Sometimes the way was tidy and clean. Another time it was dirty. At times it would go uphill, and at other times downhill. It rarely happened that the way was safe. Neither was the wind always blowing on our backs. The people whom we met were not all friends. We have experienced much. So, it was not always easy? Certainly not. And even now, we do not know what will still come. But one thing we do know, and that is an old truth, he who serves the Lord must suffer tribulation. But, Mr. Nason wanted to know, would you also be willing to tell which difficulties you experienced? Mr. Honest shook his head. You better ask Mr. Greatheart. He can tell this much better than I can. And indeed, the guide remembered everything. He said that the travelers had been attacked about 3 or 4 times. First, Christiana and Mercy with the children were attacked by 2 evil men. That was very fearful, as you will understand. The other ones nodded and looked with pity at the women and children. In the meantime, Mr. Greatheart continued to speak. After this, we were attacked by a giant 3 times. The first one was Giant Grim. He is also called Giant Bloody Man. The second one who attacked us was Giant Maul. The last one was Giant Slay Good. Actually, the last giant did not attack us, but we attacked him.
You attacked him?
Yes, this is how it happened. At that time, we lodged in the house of Gaius, a true friend of good travelers. His door is always open, and pilgrims are always welcome there. When we were there for some time, we felt like taking up our weapons. We wanted to fight against the enemies. We had heard that a dangerous giant lived in that area, a great enemy of the true pilgrims. Gaius happened to know this giant's hiding place better than I did, because he did not live very far from him. He showed us the way, and thus we went on our way. Friends listened intently to what Mr. Greatheart told them about searching for the giant. "Friends," he said, "we looked around very carefully to see if we could find him. After a while, we found him at the entrance of his cave. How glad we were that we had found him. We approached him immediately. But when we came closer, we saw something terrible. The giant was torturing a poor man to death." Friends sighed. "Terrible." "Yes," Mr. Greatheart nodded. "And do you know who that poor man was?" They shrugged their shoulders. "No idea." Then Mr. Greatheart pointed with his finger to Mr. Feeble Mind, who sat with them at the table. "This man, he was in the giant's cave." Shocked, they looked at Mr. Feeble Mind. "Ah, poor man. Is that true?" Yes, Mr. Greatheart said, it is true. The giant had just dragged him to his cave and was planning to end his life. But then he saw us. Aha! He grinned. Now pray again. He left the poor man in his cave and came outside. We immediately attacked him with full force. The giant desperately fought back, but in the end, we beat him to the ground. Then things happened very quickly. We slew him in a short time. His head was cut off and put on a pole. It was a warning for everyone who wants to do such wicked things, too. Let everyone be afraid by this. Mr. Greatheart nodded at Mr. Feeblemind. But friends, here is the man himself. Like a lamb, he was taken out of the mouth of the lion. He can tell you whether it is true what I am saying. Mr. Feeblemind swallowed a moment. Go ahead, Mr. Contrite nodded kindly. Well, he began to say with a trembling voice, what Mr. Greatheart told is true. I have experienced both things, that terrible thing, but also the marvelous thing that I was saved. First, that terrible thing when the giant constantly threatened to eat the flesh from off my bones. Oh, how miserable that was. But then that marvelous thing happened. I will never forget that I suddenly saw Mr. Greatheart with his friends by the cave, heavily armed to deliver me. Suddenly, tears streamed down Mr. Feeblemind's cheeks. Everyone was quiet. What do we need for on the way? After a little while, Mr. Holy Man began to talk. Thus, you see again that there are two things which we need on the way to eternity, courage and a holy life. Are you willing to explain it to us, Mr. Holy Man? Someone asked. Well, if you are not courageous, you will never persevere on the way. So be courageous and brave, but also you must be holy. This means that you must flee from evil. If you think you may sin, things will go wrong. That is not to God's honor. Then people are going to say bad things about the true pilgrims, and they will receive a bad name. Mr. Love Saints said, there are many people like that on the way. But what do you notice? They do walk there, but do not even know who the true travelers are. They are actually strangers to each other. Do you know why that is? One of the travelers asked. Yes, Mr. Love Saints answered. That is because they love the world, and the world should be strange to them instead. He solemnly looked at the travelers. But I hope that this warning is not necessary for you. Ah, Mr. Dare Not Lie said, when you look around, you can see right away who those people are. They do not wear the clothing of a pilgrim and are not courageous either. They do not walk uprightly. They put their feet down the wrong way. One foot goes inward and the other one outward. Their socks have holes in the back. Here they have a patch and there a tear. It is terrible to see what they wear. Thus, everyone will talk evil about their Lord. Look, Mr. Penitent said, those people should be troubled about these things. If they continue to live that way, they will never become good friends with the pilgrims. They first need to be washed from their stains. Thus they talked a while until supper was placed on the table. They ate together and felt that their tired bodies were refreshed. After this, they went to bed. All the time of the fair, they lodged at Mr. Nason's house. After some time, Mr. Nason gave his daughter Grace to Samuel, and his daughter Martha to Joseph. Thus there were two weddings. They stayed in the city with Mr. Nason for a long time, and that went well. It was really different in the city of vanity now than in the time of Christian. While they were there, they learned to know many of the people who served the Lord. They helped them as much as they could. Just as always, mercy did much for the poor people. How grateful they were for that. This made her an ornament among the people, for with this she showed what she believed. Also Grace, Phoebe, and Martha were kind women who did much good. All three of them received several children. Because of this, Christian's name would continue to live on in this world. Explanation. In the city of Vanity, there now lived a little group of people who served the Lord. In former times, this was difficult. When Christian and Faithful were arrested, Faithful was even killed. Many people had seen how he died. They saw that Faithful was not afraid to die. Faithful had something which they missed. For him, it was not a terrible thing to die. But would they also be able to die like that? These people noticed that there was only one type of happy people. From that time, more people in the city became Christians. They lived in the city, but did not really belong to it anymore. They became strangers on earth. These people began to seek the things of the Lord. We also live in the city of vanity. Have we also become strangers in this world? Or is our heart still filled with all the things which pass away? Here we saw a little group of Christians who knew each other and lived with each other. God gives each of his children something peculiar. In the one you may notice this, and in another something else. In the one you may often notice a great sorrow about sin. In another you may see how close he wants to live with the Lord. Again in another, you may notice his love for God's children. Everyone had received his own gifts. These people had found each other. Together they had talked about the Lord and his service. But not only that, they also took care of other people who needed help. Thus, other people could see that there was love among these Christians.